Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. We're here to empower, we're here to challenge. We have a forum that is open to all. Let's see what we can learn today. I have a very interesting brand new commentary that I focused on last night after I saw the outcomes of things, and I'm going to share that with you, and I'll open up my lines for calls so you can have a chance to share your informed opinion as well. But we begin with the latest on health and healing. We're going to show you something about prunes and tomatoes. We're also going to talk about breathing and close friendships, motivation, and purple corn. How's that for a combination? A study shows eating prunes daily can help prevent bone loss, from Penn State University. An article in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Now, people often eat prunes to boost their digestive health, but a new study published shows that consuming a handful of plums a day can also help prevent bone loss when you're older. They reported that women in their 60s who consumed prunes had significantly less bone loss in their hips in a year compared to those who didn't eat the dried fruits. This suggests that prunes can help reduce inflammation in the body, which is a key driver of bone loss. So I think that's good. Again, something simple. So they compared one group that ate 2 ounces of prunes a day and another group that didn't eat any. By the way, that would be about 4 prunes. That's not a lot. So that's important. Now, in a separate study, and I'm going to go through a couple today, they looked at tomatoes, and they found that tomatoes are good not because of the lycopene and the other phytonutrients it contains, but because it also is beneficial for the gut microbes, meaning the gut bacteria. This is Ohio State University. 2 weeks of eating a diet heavy in tomatoes increased the diversity of gut microbes and altered for the better your gut bacteria towards a more favorable profile, and that's important. So, again, it depends upon your taste, your ethnic background. A lot of people coming from the Mediterranean in particular, they eat tomatoes and tomato sauce. Other people juice tomatoes. And by the way, I wouldn't buy tomato juice because it's got a lot of sodium in it. But instead, if you juice your tomatoes and then add in some lemon juice, garlic, and ginger, that's very low sodium but extremely high potassium, and it's excellent for you. And you're going to have a better gut microorganism colony, and that can also help your immune system as well. Additionally, a new study examines the breathing shapes that our brain can manifest. From Aarhus University in Denmark, breathe in and breathe out. We've all heard that. Or take a deep breath and count to 10. I heard that growing up, because that's what all my aunts said. You know, before you get too excited about something and you get angry, just stop and take some deep breaths and count to 10. Well, the calming effect of breathing in stressful situations is a concept most of us have met before. Now, Professor Allen at the Department of Clinical Medicine at Aarhus University has come a step closer to understanding how the very act of breathing shapes our brains. The researcher synthesized results from more than a dozen studies and from human brains, monkey brains, and the imaging of those brains, and used it to propose a new model that explains how our breathing influences the brain's expectations. Quote, what we found is that across many different types of tasks and animals and brain rhythms are closely tied to the rhythm of our breath. We are more sensitive to the outside world when we are breathing in, whereas the brain tunes out more when we breathe out. This also aligns with how some extreme sports use breathing, for example. Even professional marksmen are trained to pull the trigger at the end of exhaustion. And this is from Dr. Allen. The study suggests that breathing is more than just something we do to stay alive. It suggests that the brain and breathing are closely intertwined in a way that goes far beyond survival to actually impact our emotions, our attention, and how we process the outside world. Now, this is good because we need to stabilize our emotions at different times. One of the simple brain exercise, meditative exercise I do is I sit calmly around nature and I simply say, calm. And with that, I breathe deeply. Deep inhalation and then exhale. Again, I say the word calm. Now, if I want to focus upon my blood pressure, I'll say 110 over 70, and I'll say it over and over and over again. And lo and behold, when I get, and I take my blood pressure 3 times a week, I can use that mantra over and over in my meditation, and that tells the brain to tell the body to help the blood pressure regulation. Now, as a coach who's coached over 30,000 athletes to complete the New York City Marathon, and how many beyond that who did shorter races, I don't know, probably in the neighborhood of 40,000 all told, because we've been doing this since 1975, and we were doing 2 groups a year. Many of you probably were at those meetings where we'd have as many as 1,000 people show up the first week, and then it went down after that when they started seeing what was involved. But one of the things that we would get to probably a month into our training was the breathing. And before we go out on the road and breathe, we would just stand and breathe and see how deep you could breathe. Because most people don't breathe deeply, they breathe shallow. But when you're running or power walking or biking, you want to be able to control your breath because breathing is a substantial benefit to the athletic outcome. It's so important. And indeed, when we were running, we were using meditation to such a degree that we would start off what we called a whip, meaning we would all be in a single line. There might be 200 of us. But then the last person would run as fast as they could to the front. Then the person that was behind them, they would run. So you would run the last to the front and clear around Central Park. But we also added something in. And we would tell the person what we were going to run at. Let's say it was a 7-minute per mile pace or 6-minute per mile pace. You weren't allowed to look at your watches, and yet people who were looking at the watches said that we were hitting every single mile exactly on that. How's that possible? That's what happens when you coordinate and you condition yourself to breathe at a certain level. You tell your muscles what they should do, and they'll obey it if it's something you've mastered. And so this way, when we get into the races, virtually every race we ever did, someone from the club would win. And Thelma Wilson, the New York City Marathoner age group, she won. So it's just to help you. And remember, there's a lot of good information on the internet. Sean Bhatnagar is probably one of the most enlightened, and he is one of the best of the best at breathing and your health. And he goes into great depth. He's got writings up there. You can go up and look. From Northwestern University School of Medicine comes a study about close friends are linked to sharper memories. Maintaining positive, warm, and trusting friendships might be the key to a slower decline in memory and cognitive functioning. And what are called superagers, who are 80 years of age and older, who have cognitive ability at least as good as people in their 50s, reported having more satisfying, high-quality relationships compared to their cognitive average, same-age peers. We all know that friendships and having people in our lives is important. Having the right kind of friendships and relationships is the goal. If you have the right kind of relationships, then it should be void of the drama, and the hyperkinetic exaggerated emotions and the crisis that you can feel the palpable energy. It's a spastic energy. And if any of you are very sensitive, I'm sure most of you are sensitive to know what's happening. If you're a parent, you can know that something's not right. And you'll say, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Something's wrong. What's wrong? And finally, they tell you, how did you know that something was wrong? Because everything we do in life is based upon a sharing of energy. And depending upon the quality of the energy and the feedback we get and what we can process to do that with, can make a good outcome. But wouldn't it be nice if we had a basic rule in life? Think of this for a moment. It's a radical concept, but think of it. Would you rather have no relationship except with yourself than a bad relationship? And then define bad on a spectrum, one that is annoying or non-compatible or not harmonizing, up to where someone is in a drama all the time, or gossipy, or accusatory, or petty. And then ask yourself, why would anyone tolerate that kind of relationship? And then you start looking for what a good relationship is. There's no shortage of good people in this world, but you have to be able to understand yourself, your strengths and weaknesses, and what you're bringing into a relationship. Everybody wants to bring the best that they can be in their initial stages of a relationship, and we think, wow, this is terrific. And then about 3 or 4 months later, once you've kind of settled into the relationship and you've accepted each other, then the door, you know, rings, doorbell rings, you go to the door, and suddenly there's 16 tractor trailers. What's this? Well, this is all the other stuff from the dark side of that person that's been hidden, and we're bringing it in now because they feel satisfied that you will tolerate the maladaptive behavior that's going to be dominant in the relationship. Well, I didn't want this. I didn't know any of this. Well, and then that's where we're at. So we need quality relationships. And this study just shows that it's so important to have it. This was done at the Alzheimer's Disease Center at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. So there's a big difference in biological aging when you're happy versus stressed. It can impact the cortex in your brain, and that can affect your cognition. Also, from Ecole Polytechnique Federation in Lausanne comes a study about motivation and its effect by oxidative stress, and also nutrition can help. In just lay language, in life, motivation can be the difference between success and failure. Goal setting and aimlessness, well-being and unhappiness. And yet, becoming and staying motivated is often the hardest step, a problem which has prompted much research. How does stress affect our capacity for motivation? And this was by one of the professors at the university. Quote, if that is the case, could nutritional intervention that can affect metabolite levels be effective vehicle to improve motivational performance? And there's a place in our brain, it's called the nucleus accumbens, which is known to play a major role regulating functions like reward, reinforcement, aversion, and not the least, motivation. The idea behind the study was that the brain itself, like all tissues in our body, is subjected to constant oxidative stress as a result of its metabolism. The more stressed you are, the more oxidative stress. The more oxidative stress, the worse off your brain is going to be. The brain then often is subjected to excessive oxidation stress from its neurometabolic processes. And then the question is, can antioxidant levels make a difference? The answer is yes, it can. And especially glutathione and its relationship to motivation. Just one of the things you never think about, and N-acetylcysteine, another nutritional supplement that was used in the study, and it's a precursor to cysteine. And cysteine is contained in high-protein foods, and you can also get it in plant-based foods. Whole grains, for example, and a lot of vegetables like broccoli and onions and legumes. So what they're saying is that, yes, we have stress, And yes, that can adversely affect us. However, we can also, when we're not feeling good, we're not motivated. When we're in crisis, we're not motivated. When we're highly stressed, we're not motivated. But why don't we try de-stressing the body with nutrients like N-acetylcysteine and glutathione and cysteine and things like broccoli and onions and legumes and whole grains, and that can make a difference. And indeed, it did. Oh, and by the way, purple corn found to improve libido in men. This is from the University of Taxaca in Mexico. Purple corn, the Azia mayas, has been used as an aphrodisiac since the time of ancient Mexico. This was published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Integrative Medicine, and it sought to understand the mechanisms behind the plant's effects. And it has a stimulation to the male, and it works. Now, they don't know exactly why it works, but like a lot of things, it works. So just want to add that in, because purple corn's not difficult to get. You can get it at farmers markets. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 17 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us today, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. For the last 4 days of broadcasting, I've been sharing an original, in-depth commentaries or essays on the human condition and trying to show, for those who are interested, that if we change our perception of something, we can change the outcome. If we don't change our perception, we're not going to change the outcome. And boy, yesterday's elections was a perfect example of that. But go back to my commentary yesterday, where I actually predicted this based upon the Maslow's theories of what we need, the five principles of what we need in our life in order to have a fulfilling life. And if at any time we don't have that, we go into varying types of crisis. And then I further delineated what I added on to that based upon life energies and the uniqueness of the seven different life energies, like passive, dynamic assertive, dynamic aggressive, dynamic supportive, creative assertive, and the adaptive supportive and adaptive assertive and adaptive aggressive. Now, these seven energies, whether you're at the high end of your life, on the higher end of spectrum, coming from a more spiritual place, or you're at the low end, coming from a hedonic perspective, you're still a part of a tribe. You're still a part of a cultural indoctrination process. That doesn't mean that it's good or bad. I'm not judging that. But it means that we are influenced at the epigenetic level by everything that's been said and done and felt and expressed and experienced from seven generations before our birth right up until this moment. And that's why it's so confusing, because much of this is before we had the capacity to intellectualize or we emotionalized. So I'll give you an example of this. In the last 40 years, think of all the promises you've been made by the red and the blue. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that. Nothing's been done. Everything's gotten worse at every level. More people are unemployed, over 100 million right now, and yet they won't show you that figure and what's happening to those people's lives. More children are homeless, almost 3 million. More children are hungry, almost 20 million. More people are facing bankruptcy and the loss of their homes, much like they did, because now homes are down almost 20 to 30% and going to drop further as we enter one of the worst depressions, if not the worst depression in American history. And yet everything is artificially supported by debt. Nobody wants to take responsibility for inflation, but inflation comes when you print money out of thin air and spend it where it doesn't benefit the average person. Now, we've spent trillions of dollars, trillions, and we have the average person has nothing to show for it. So why then would the average person trust the people who made promises, then betrayed them, and got them into this problem we're in today? Why would they trust they can get them out? But they'll still vote for those same people, and they did it yesterday. Repeatedly, people who are liars, people who are clearly self-interested or representing the interests of those who've lobbied them and given them money for their campaigns, So will we do the following? Will we have universal health care no matter who's in power? No. Will we take all money out of elections? No. Will we start to deghettoize American cities and put people back to work at a living wage? No. Will we take all of the bad curriculum out of schools? No. Will we start sending peacemakers out to the world to try to find ways of living in peace and harmony with people? No. We will do all of its opposite. Will the media suddenly become honest about anything? And the answer is no. Will pharmaceutical companies lower the price of their drugs and only give you drugs that have been proven by real science to be safe and effective? No. Will the Justice Department and the FBI be anything other than a private police task force for those in power? Will they represent that all people should be treated equally under the eyes of the law? No, they won't. So nothing will change. Nothing. And nothing has changed for the betterment. And it won't. Why? And I told you yesterday, I'm not going to go repeat it. And that's because we had for 45 to 50 years, we had the first two principles of why a person will live at a higher ideal if they have the financial security, living wage, a house, food, clothing, school, respect within their community, a safe community. And we don't have that today. And because we don't, people then think in group. And the group think takes you back to the Soma, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Keep them intoxicated on something and distracted so they never see the real truth of something, how it got there and how you got to get rid of it if you've got a problem. So think of all the reality shows. They're bad to the bone. They're the worst of human nature, and yet people are rushing to them. We've made billionaires out of people who, like the Kardashians, who I have yet to see function at any level outside of gross narcissism and all the celebrity culture. Everybody wants their moment of fame, and then they don't want to give it up. And everybody's stressed to the max. So why would you expect people who want something better, who want safety, but yet they vote for a person who's going to take away more of their rights in New York State, as an example, and in California, as another example? Unlike Michael Moore, who we'll deal with in a little bit, I don't consider that we have 80 to 90 million stupid people. Remember, it's never the person voting for who you want that is stupid. It's the person who doesn't. Have you met those 90 million people? Do you know anything about them? No. But that comes from the narcissists. That comes from the people who believe that because they have gained some fame that they should be deferred to. And yet the very people who need fame are the people you should never listen to, because they're not talking through a balanced mind. They're talking through a conditioned mind. So just, you know, it was so predictable what would happen and who would vote for what. You've got to stand aside from the group in order to have your own voice heard and not be afraid to challenge your own culture, your own values, your own belief. The hardest thing in the world to surrender is knowledge. And yet it is the very first thing you must surrender if you're to gain new knowledge. Otherwise, where's the new knowledge supposed to go? It's going to compete with the old knowledge. And hence, oncologists know that what they're doing is not helping most of the people with cancer. It's harming them. And they'll continue. Makes no sense. Unless you look at it from the point of view of what do they gain by not changing? And what do they lose if they dare change? So you see, it's not about change. Everybody wants change. Everybody wants a better world. Everybody wants, you know, something that enhances the quality of their life. Are they willing to demonstrate? No. Tell me the last time you saw the doctors go on strike. Never. Nurses? Never. Dentists? Never. Psychologists? Never. Sociologists? Never. People working in the military-industrial complex? Never. People working in Big Agra? Never. Occasionally, we'll get one out of a million people in an industry who become a whistleblower. And then what do we do with the whistleblowers? Just ask Barack Obama. He's got a good way of dealing with whistleblowers. He dealt punitively with more whistleblowers than all the other presidents preceding him, and yet he is loved. Isn't he charming? He's so charming. He can't be that bad, can he? Just think how simplistic we evaluate things. We want to reward people for what they tell us is their effort. We never want to look to see what the results are, because then we'd be disillusioned, because everybody's got bad results when it comes to honoring their word. So this gets me to a concept that I thought about overnight, about the conspiracies. Because what if the first thing the mainstream media and the mainstream politicians, the mainstream scientists, doctors, I don't care where you go, what do they say? Oh, you must be one of those conspiracy people. Why? So here's a new commentary. Conspiracies are the new normal. No doubt, none of us can recall a time when the world at large has faced so many problems and crises that impinge upon the well-being and mortality of billions of people. The COVID-19 pandemic has taught us that for the average person, the human psyche is extraordinarily fragile and can easily be overwhelmed with anxiety, dread, depression, and anger. People desperately sought solutions to ameliorate an all-pervading angst as society was being completely reconfigured in the image of those who hold power, none of whom, by the way, were elected. Klaus Schwab, Dr. Harari, and all the sycophants around them, the tens of thousands, no one selected them to control their lives. And yet they feel empowered to control everyone's life. They are the ultimate influence. Why? Because they have the ultimate power and wealth. There was a time in the past when we believed our elected officials would enact laws to protect the citizenry and provide a climate for sustaining a normal, productive life. That's an illusion. That ended around 1975 to 1980. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, those who could capitalize on its opportunities found the means to push forward non-democratic agendas to displace normalcy. In its place, the masters of government and industry assured us that existential angst is our new fate. Get used to it. Faith in any institutional security has collapsed into a tragic theater as the younger generations face an uncertain future and life loses its purpose and meaning. The majority of people's beliefs are grounded and conditioned upon the input and information they receive. And through a compromised media, the consuming public is spoon-fed a heavy dose of fear and confusion. Those who make efforts to pull back the curtain to expose the wizard of a dystopian globalist Oz are marginalized and officially canceled by Silicon Valley and an army of faux fact-checkers, all fraudulent. Consequently, it should come as no surprise that the culture of non-transparency draping the halls of Washington, the international health institutions and professional medical associations, and the pharmaceutical complex has sparked public suspicion about conspiratorial operations to shred democracy and individual rights and freedoms. Objective skepticism, the ability to turn towards the mind's faculty for critical thought, has rapidly declined in American society for several decades. Yet a healthy skepticism is necessary for questioning both the rhetoric and misinformation of official views and propaganda, including hints of what is commonly ridiculed as conspiracy. The word conspiracy has lost its meaning and credibility in the American lexicon. Rarely does mainstream media and professional associations and think tanks and official federal public relations and propaganda contextualize the term to simply implicate wrongdoing and corruption. So even when wrongdoing and corruption is so self-evident, it is before our eyes and all of our faculties, we still must reject it. Unless we turn and say, is it all right? Can we view that? No, you can't. No, what you're seeing is that your eyes are betraying you. We'll tell you what you're seeing, and we'll tell you how you should respond to it. Will I ever be able to trust my own judgment, my own intuition, my own cognitive awareness, my own presence? Not yet. Okay, so vote for who we want you to vote for and not who you should vote for. So used by authorities, conspiracy is almost always pejorative, a means to slander and accuse marginalized people as loons and quacks. As a result, we are led to believe the gospel word of officialdom, the Warren Report, Don't question that. 9/11 Commission, don't question that. And everything spouted from Anthony Fauci, the White House, and federal health agencies regarding COVID-19, don't question any of that. Just stay pro-vaccine. Be a part of our mania. Very often conspiracies are ridiculous, bordering on the surreal and absurd. However, why don't you just turn around and take a look at those actual real conspiracies that created black flag operations in corporate boardrooms and governmental halls? Those are real. They happened. You'll never hear them in tone today because it might impact the integrity of a politician or health official or media pundit or corporate executive. It is natural for the inquisitive mind to explore more deeply the hidden motivations and goals underlying the thoughts and actions of conspiracies, because those are the physical footprints, but not today. Conspiracies conducted by the government, which resulted in unnecessary violence and death, are proven to have occurred. The Gulf of Tonkin, the Tuskegee syphilis experiments, the CIA's staged coup to oust Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, and the failed Operation Northwood scheme by the CIA and the Pentagon to launch acts of terror against Miami residents. We were willing to bomb our own U.S. citizens and then blame it on Castro. But the Kennedys said no. Before the 2001 anthrax scare identified any individual or group behind the toxic letters, according to an FBI whistleblower, the Bush White House instructed the FBI to blame the attacks on Al-Qaeda. Later, it was revealed that the threats were carried out by one or more U.S. government-employed scientists. In addition, the U.S. government frequently launches conspiratorial misinformation campaigns throughout the major corporate media. Russia. They were behind. What were they behind? They were behind none of this because four separate investigations costing over $30 million involving hundreds of lawyers and researchers found nothing. Did anyone apologize? No. Did anyone quit? No. That's the benefit of being a part of the establishment. You're protected. Furthermore, the media makes every effort to seduce us into believing that we don't have conspiracies in the banking system, the pharmaceutical industry, and the government intelligence apparatus. The National Security Director, remember when the Director General Keith Alexander claimed publicly that intelligence surveillance of the American public, quote, foiled 54 terrorist attacks by extremists? But independent research confirmed that, in fact, only one, not 54, one in a possible second attack could be directly associated with the war on terrorism. The media never questioned the accuracy of Alexander's claim nor provided evidence to the contrary. This was all hatched by the FBI. Repeatedly, Obama lied to the American public about the largesse of the national security state and its infiltration into the lives of the average citizen, including massive data collection of private phone calls, emails, and internal internet activity. The federal government is a vast sea of conspiracies, real conspiracies operating at any given moment. Edward Snowden documented proof that intelligence surveillance is far more extensive than officially reported, but others can be cited throughout the recent activities of the FBI, CIA, the Pentagon, FISA courts, USDA, FDA, and CDC, and the Justice Department. Additionally, we have confirmed conspiracies planned by our executive branch, the CIA, military, and other federal agencies. For example, a U.S. congressional committee acknowledged that the COINTELPRO campaign, including the FBI employing provocateurs from the 1950s to 1970s to carry out terrorist acts in order to blame civil political activists, including Martin Luther King. They acknowledged it. The Bush Justice Department Attorney General John Ho recommended that the U.S. create a false terrorist organization for the purpose of conducting terrorist attacks that could be blamed on Al-Qaeda. Overwhelming scientific evidence can now debunk the official report that the three World Trade buildings could not have collapsed in free fall from jet fuel fires alone. The government covered up conspiracies waged against Americans by other nations, the Israeli bombing of the USS Liberty, and the planting of the bombs in the U.S. diplomatic facilities in Egypt by terrorist cells. State Department documents show the Pentagon's Joint Chiefs of Staff planned to bomb the U.S. consulate in the Dominican Republic in order to win popular support for an invasion of the country. There are hundreds of these. The Tuskegee experiment, conducted by the U.S. Public Health Service between 1932 and 1972, which experimented on unknowing poor African-American men in violation of the Nuremberg Code. Was anyone held accountable? Anyone went to jail? Anyone shamed? No. The 2000 Simpsonwood meeting convened by the CDC with major health agencies and executives of vaccine makers to cover up scientific evidence that mercury in vaccines were contributing to the increase in autism. The whistleblower document dumped by a senior CDC epidemiologist, Dr. William Thompson, revealing the health agencies under Julia Gerberding directorship destroyed internal research proving the measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR vaccine, contributed to a 250% higher rate of autism in African-American boys. Gerberding went on to become president of Merck's vaccine division with a $2.5 million salary and $38 million in stock options. 30-year asbestos cover-up, a prior knowledge about asbestos association with respiratory illness and cancer in order to avoid lawsuits. And so it goes. So just remember, this is what we're told we should believe. We should only believe what we're told. Wasn't it the brilliant journalist I.F. Stone who said, every government is run by liars and nothing they say should be believed? Yes. He could have been speaking about the entire gamut of federal agencies where we legalize terror, including on the American public. How about Merck's withholding evidence from the FDA that its blockbuster drug Vioxx had serious health risks, including heart attacks, strokes, and early death? The drug was responsible for at least 60,000 deaths. Was anyone held accountable? No. How about in 2009 when Pfizer was fined $2.3 billion for what was then the largest healthcare felony settlement in U.S. pharmaceutical history for illegally promoting its drugs, including the painkiller Bextra? $1.2 billion was for the criminal fine, then the largest imposed in the United States. Huh. How about the fine against Johnson & Johnson for $2.2 billion in criminal fines for marketing its autism and antipsychotic drug Risperdal for unapproved uses? So I have hundreds of thousands, let me repeat, hundreds of thousands of examples of lawsuits settled and no one held accountable. And that's the world we live in today. And yet the independent voices who break free from the shackles of conforming to their tribal beliefs and want to say the truth, they told us that Wall Street had undue influence over the Federal Reserve and the government economic policies. We chose not to believe it. On the contrary, tens of thousands of articles, books, and opinion essays reinforced with solid scholarship reveal we do, in fact, have an epidemic of conspiracies in our midst. And yet we're doing nothing about it. What have we done about all the lies, the conspiracies involving COVID? How about nothing except, shouldn't we now give them amnesty? And that's where we live today. Your thoughts, please. This is just post-election because I knew nothing would change, fundamentally change, and it didn't. But I'd like to hear what you think. And it can only change when we understand why it doesn't change. And we've been in the wrong direction, completely wrong. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to be taking your calls in a moment, but I'm setting aside a little bit of time because some good outcomes have occurred, and I only wait till after something has been proven to work before I share it. This is not for everyone, and we're not going to take a lot of time on it, but for those in our audience who care about such things, they may find this at this time in particular because of all the things that are happening and going to get worse at the social level in all the major cities and in the suburbs, all the gangs, because of the loss of quality of life. It was in 1972, 50 years ago, that I had an idea. I didn't know if it would work, but I I invited over a period of 6 months finding street artists, street musicians. And when I found that I thought someone had a really good talent but needed an opportunity, and I would talk with them, and it was rough because they had to, you know, they wanted to show people their work, but at the same time, they had to work in bars and restaurants to make ends meet. So I invited 50 individuals to my Fertler farm upstate, and I said they could live there for a year, free. Free food, everything, utilities, nothing. But all they had to do is master their craft. That's all. It was a gift. It didn't work. And in retrospect, it didn't work because they weren't the right people. It was the right idea, a right support group. It was the right time. But it was not the right people. Within an hour of leaving, after everyone was up there on the weekend in the summer, my caretaker called and said, "These people are arguing about everything." So I drove right back up after a two-hour drive back, and I talked to him, "What's going on?" "Well, this," and, you know, "this person's, you know, playing their instrument and trying to get some rest." And so I said, "Well, let's respect each other. You know, lights out at 10 o'clock. You can do anything you want, but you can't play music because it's going to echo." Okay. Every hour I was getting another complaint. I had selected the wrong people. I selected them based upon their talent. What I didn't consider at the time, because I just didn't have this knowledge, was it's more than the talent that someone brings. Want to see talent without a mature person behind it? Look at Guns N' Roses. A man who had talent, but look at his life as an example of destroying everything and everyone associated with it. What was his name? Axl Rose? Anyhow, I'm not into that. That's not my genre of interest. But it shows us that all the time we're finding people who could have an idea, even be good at it, but there's nothing else good about them. So the key was you got to have five principles: the right idea at the right time with the right support group, the right, meaning the right people. You have to be the right person, and you have to be in the right place. So for the last 2 years, we've been trying some homesteading projects. Now, a lot of people have good ideas, but don't have the financial resources to make it happen. And in today's world with COVID, who's got extra money to risk opening up a business, paying rent, paying taxes, paying everything, and then having it fail? So I put up the money and we built everything. And then we tried people at things they were empowered by. And one of them was John from California, retired. And I started with some personal longtime friends of mine, like John Q, phenomenal artist. But you would never know he was an artist because he spent all this time as a coach, teaching swimming and biking. And of course, all the people he's helped with the marathon training. He and I believe we've done 29 marathons together. But I had some friends who retired, and they came down to Texas to the villa up northeast Texas. And then it's making sure you have the right combination of people who are friendly and up, who maintain their own sense of self, but also then can work in an environment where if they need something from someone, you know, some insights, whatever, they can get it. John was motivated by Luann and others and his partner, Cecilia, to go to a local art academy there. He was very shy about it. He finally did, and they had a big festival, every kind of art, and he won best of festival. Well, that suddenly changed his attitude. Wow, people, you know, really respected his work, and now he's been asked to teach there. So he's doing his art. Someone else, a buddy, loved cooking. He never cooked. He was one of Hollywood's most respected teachers in acting. The person you never see getting credit, but he comes in. In fact, he was just hired to go to Greece to help on a major film, to help a famous person, I won't mention the name, with their acting for 2 months. And then when the film was finished, he came back. But he wanted to do something different. He's retired. And he wanted to get his health in top shape, but he also wanted to cook. Now he's got great dishes. He's at the farmer's market, and everybody loves his food. So he's making all kinds of gourmet breads, gluten-free and organic, and gluten-free and sugar-free recipes. And he's succeeding, and he's happy. And then Angelo, who also is retired, wanted to do microgreens and sprouting and vegetables. Now there's this big greenhouse, and it's hydroponics, and it just looks like a cornucopia overflowing with these beautiful plants. And in fact, people at the retreat had the advantage of having a class down there, and that's succeeding as well. So now I've decided to let people know who may want, and we only have room for two people. I'm keeping it small, five people who want to live in a beautiful environment, who want to do something as far as homesteading, a project that they would control and profit from. And then Luann's here to discuss this, but we've added something else. Now so one is the homesteading project, and whatever person, if I think the idea is right, I'll build it. And that's my gift, because I'm one of those people who believe if you have a gift, share it, as I've done my whole life. But the other is something completely different. And this came because a friend of mine who came to a retreat 2 years ago and sent me an interesting letter about a month after and said, I'm back in COVID land. And because I was asked by a friend backyard party we had out here, everyone was assuming everyone was vaccinated. And when I said I wasn't vaccinated, I was just literally verbally attacked. And now I have no friends because I'm that anti-vaxxer. And I'm not anti-vax. I just don't want this vax. And as a result, I ended up with COVID, so I have natural immunity. But none of these people want to be my friend anymore. I'm kind of pariah. So I have no quality of life. I'd love to be back there. And so now we're thinking about doing a quality of life where people can come for a month or longer and enjoy themselves. They would be provided with food. I would bring in a chef and they would have their juices and meals. But everything else is on they're on their own. They can use the facilities, but it's not a retreat. It's some place to go. And right now people are looking for safer places to live, more free-based places to live where you're not going to be criticized because of your body politic or anything else, where you can take a breath and enjoy life and be close to nature and around some very nice people. Not a lot of people, but the people who are there have been selected. Luann does the selecting because we don't want negative, hostile people. We've seen too many of those. So that's what is being offered, and I put a video together. And my cinematographer, Roland, who filmed it, and some of you have seen him because he was down there filming my lectures, which my new five-part lecture series will be coming out probably in a month. He's working on the first of the five with a whole new understanding of life. It's really exciting what I believe that you're going to be exposed to. In any case, we put a film up on GaryNoll.com. So go to GaryNoll.com, download the film. It's 35 minutes long, and you can watch it, and you can see what we're talking about. Now, Luann's on the line now. Hi, Luann.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, this is very, very exciting. We have we've kind of gone through our learning curve, and we know exactly what we're looking for. But I'm glad you said that earlier. It's not for everyone. It's for people that are upbeat, excited about making some positive changes in their lives, and wanting to be in an exquisite environment. If anyone sees the film that Roland created with you, you'll see it's a bucolic environment. It's beautiful. For those of you who have been to retreats before, you know the beauty of the place. It's magical. It's just magical. So if you're interested in either you have a project that you're thinking about and you're looking for a place to do it that is safe and beautiful and has very temperate weather throughout the year, give me a call. Or if you're thinking of just coming down and kind of like what other people have done, where they just want to come down for a couple of months and have respite and just kind of rent an area for a while, give me a call. My number here is 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. And I will look forward to having a discussion with you.
Thank you. And it also, this is not a place to come if you're sick to get well. We've had too many people call Luann and lie to her. And I don't say anything, but it's something you shouldn't do. If you're going to come to a place, come healthy. Because otherwise people say, well, I'm coming down because I'm here because I'm sick. And that changes the whole energy. It's not a place for treatment, diagnosing, or treating any disease. And we also don't want people who are negative and thinking, well, okay, I can't deal with what I'm dealing with now, but I'll just take all my anxiety with me. No, that won't be acceptable. There's still a lot of just nice, happy, wonderful human beings in this world. And that's the kind of person that would enjoy this and have a quality of life if they just wanted to visit and enjoy themselves and enjoy the facilities. But there's no daily classes, you know, like we do during a health retreat. This is not a health retreat. It's quality of life respite. Or you have a project, and we're only going to take two new projects in, because over the winter, I'm going to be building a Hobbit's Village there, an actual Hobbit's Village. And I'm going to bring in 8 people who can do their projects, each one in a Hobbit, have their own Hobbit house. It'll be kind of fun, because I haven't seen this done anywhere in America, so I'm going to try it. Thank you, Luann. And you can go to GaryNoll.com and download the video for yourself. Now, I've got a special for you today. I want to give you a little background on this, because it's really difficult finding raw materials for my products. It would normally take 4 to 6 weeks to get a product once we reorder it. Now it's taking up to 10 months. And the prices are increasing, yet I have not passed on any of these prices, and some of them are outrageous. Some, like Supremacy, they increase my cost by 300%. And I have not passed on even a penny of that. But I can't have all these vitamin C's, so I took the one vitamin C that I personally use, and I'm going to discontinue it. So when we're out, we're out. But I have 3 others, because I can't afford to keep reordering these at the increased insane prices, because if I had to charge you what they really cost me, you wouldn't be able to afford it. So you're getting a deal of a deal today. Now, I've got 2 new products coming, and these are literally revolutionary products. There's nothing like them in the world, and we did all the homework. And I won't go further in that. One's coming in 2 weeks, another's coming in 2 months. And in the 2 month one, I ordered 6 months ago. So that's how long it takes to get this. So supply chain problems are happening. Now we're going to get hit with these diesel shortages starting, depending upon where you live in America, it's not all equal, but where you have heavy trucking, heavy manufacturing, heavy farming, they're going to be using up a lot of the diesel. And a lot of people in America will simply not be able to go out, even at an inflated price, and buy diesel. We have crossed the Rubicon in that, and that's just irresponsible, the people in government who have allowed this to happen. And it's not like they're going to open up new diesel refineries overnight. That's not going to happen. So you can probably look to the spring before we're back to where we should be. That's why I've suggested people buy stuff, buy cans of beans, and buy what you can in job lots, cases, keep them in a cool place. And so therefore, you'll be the person that doesn't have to worry about what you're going to eat, because for you, the items you're used to, you'll be able to enjoy. In any case, that's the things I have to face when I'm inventing a new product. And I have 2 new inventions, both absolutely unique. One in 2 weeks, the other one in a couple months. But today's special is this. I've taken one of my 3 most popular items, the Power Berry Blast. And if you're not familiar with the Power Berry Blast, it's quite simply one of the best products you can have. And so I got the Power Berry Blast, and You get that with all the different fruits in it, and you get a whole variety of fruits, all right? And, but I'm also throwing in the Advanced Supremacy, one of the products I will be discontinuing. You're getting two of the 450-gram high-potency Supremacy extras. And in time, when those are gone, there's no more. That alone is $170. Your cost today is only $120. So if this interests you, you can go to our order line and you can order the product. All right? Let me give you the order number. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or you can call Neil in our vitamin closet Monday to Saturday, noon to 8, at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And then I have to, you know, what I'm trying to do is when I order something new, like the two new products, I'm having to order it in very large quantity, so I have enough for a year or 2 year supply, so they can't just keep throwing new prices at me constantly, because it's rough out there in the marketplace. And fortunately, I'm a small little boutique company, and I don't have Salesforce out knocking on doors and going to stores, none of that. But what I do have are some of the finest products ever created, original products. I don't look at someone else in the marketplace and create something based upon that. I look at what people need. What do people need? Well, what do we need in our body? We need fruits and vegetables. All the science shows that. There's nothing that we can do today that can do as much as what fruits and vegetables can do every day in our body. And so we need it, and we need vitamin C. It's the one thing we should have every day is vitamin C. But just give you an idea of what you're getting in the Power Berry Blast. You're getting blueberries and blueberry fiber, raspberries and beets and bananas and rice bran and cranberries and blackberries and bilberries and black currants and aronia berries and guava, quercetin, camus, raspberry juice, elderberries, noni fruit, cherries, pineapples, goji, strawberries, acai, and grapeseed extract. That is a power combination. So you're getting all that in the Power Berry Blast. In the Supremacy, now mind you, I still have, in fact, I just placed an order today for the Supremacy Extra Powder, the pineapple, that we're going to keep. The strawberry, the smaller size, Supremacy, we're going to keep that. And the brand new one that I just come up with, the all-natural vitamin C, and with a high 11,000 ORAC. I'm keeping those, but I can't keep all these four products. It's just way too expensive. Just imagine if you were told, oh, reorder this. Okay, how much? $100,000. No, that ain't going to happen. So I'm cutting back where I can, and that's one of the things I'm doing. By the way, in this Supremacy, and needless to say, I'm taking a couple cases for myself, but you get 2,241 milligrams in each serving. So this is your heavy-duty industrial strength vitamin C. You're also getting ascorbate and magnesium ascorbate and calcium ascorbate and selenium, potassium. You're getting bilberry, bioflavonoids, acerola, amla. That in itself is extremely expensive. I just got the pricing of what amla is going to cost, and this is the only product that has it. But you're getting all these different sources of vitamin C in high potency, and you're getting, in this price that I'm giving you today, you're getting two of these jars, and you're not paying for it. Two. You're not paying for these. So just understand the deal that you're getting is the best deal until you're done with it. All right? It's only $120, and you're saving $170. So that's what it is. Okay? I want to thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed last night's Progressive Commentary Hour. And if not, go to our website and download it. And tomorrow, I'll be back sharing another commentary on the human condition. Oh, we had someone standing by. I'm sorry. I'm looking up now to see who we had standing by. Rodney, who did we have standing by?
Frank from Manhattan.
Frank, real quick, your turn.
Gary, I'm calling in reference to Kevin Ryan. I've been asking you to try and have Kevin Ryan on for the last 3 years. Please have him on because he makes very good connections between COVID truth and 9/11 truth.
Okay. I will look into that. Thank you very much. And thank all of you for listening today. Stay tuned for Utrecht Lead. Have a nice day, everyone.